Contractors are responsible for reporting 11 transactional data elements under a proposed rule from the General Services Administration. GSA says it won't take long for companies to get their systems ready for the new requirements and then to do the actual reporting. Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, my guest to start off Industry Chatter today. And Roger has been looking at the amount of time that it will take for vendors to comply with the proposed rule from GSA. Roger, you and I talked about kind of the framework of this before, but you've really dug down into this now in some comments that you're making about this proposed rule. What are you finding that vendors are telling you will actually take in their real-world ideas to comply with this proposed rule? Thanks for coming on, Roger.
Well, Francis, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, just to put it in context, GSA issued the proposed rule, I think back in March or something like that, and in it they indicated that reporting this transactional data, and we're talking about for all orders under the GSA Schedules program, you had to report contract number, order number, who ordered it, description of the deliverable, whether that's not clear what that is, statement of work, the manufacturer name, manufacturer part number, unit of measure, quality sold, unit price, total price, and a UPC code. That's just those are the 11 elements you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
For all transactions, and it had to be reported on a monthly basis to GSA into a system that GSA has yet to build, as far as I understand. And in the proposed rule, when they looked at the burden, which they're required to do, GSA indicated that it was its estimate that it would take contractors approximately 6 hours to implement the systems changes or organizational changes necessary to do this reporting. And they further estimated that thereafter, it would take 31 minutes a month to administer the reporting requirement, and we found those numbers interesting, and we in turn did a survey of our members of what they thought the burden would be based on their systems and looking internally and that sort of thing, and we used the responses in our response to GSA when they sought comments on the proposed rule. And just to quick snapshot of what those numbers look like. For our small business respondents, they indicated on average it would take like over 230 hours to implement the new reporting requirement, and on a monthly basis it would be about 38 hours a month to monitor and report the transactional data. For those who responded as large businesses to the survey, they indicated that on average it would take about 1,192 hours to implement the new reporting requirement through systems changes, et cetera. And thereafter, it would be almost two full weeks, 68 hours a month to actually administer the the new reporting requirement. So we're talking about a huge gulf. Over 30 times the government's estimate. We came up with an estimate after crunching the numbers of about $814 million to implement the new transactional data reporting, whereas GSA came in with an estimate of about $24 million.
So I mentioned when you came on, you and I have talked about this issue before. I haven't seen these numbers before because they're just new in the comments that you've submitted about this, and I appreciate you laying them out there. What I'd like to get to is this potential solution. You've said before that this information is being collected now. How do we get the information from wherever it's being collected to a format that's usable by GSA for the purposes they want to use it for? Or is that not really possible the way things stand now, Roger?
That's a great question, Francis. And first of all, GSA has indicated that this information would assist in their price analysis. They also want to use it to address price variations on the GSA Schedules program and sort of improve the ability of GSA customers to compare prices. We're not convinced that this approach in and of itself, in terms of transactional data reporting, will achieve those goals. You're talking about mountains of data. Some companies literally have thousands of orders each and every month under the GSA Schedules program. And when you get into services, that distinction, if it's a firm fixed price order, how are you going to parse that? When you talk about complex products that are configurable, consistent with commercial practice, you have to know the actual configurations of that product to be able to make any sense of pricing. You know, at the public meeting I spoke, when you're trying to do an apples to apples comparison, which is really what GSA is talking about, you got to remember there's thousands of varieties of apples. So even an apples to apples comparison, how much is that going to help you? That being said, I think one of the things that seems to continually get overlooked in this whole discussion is that, there's that competition at the task order, and adequate competition is typically under the regulations what is used to determine fair and reasonable pricing. So if GSA would, one of the things I think GSA needs to think about is improving its electronic systems to further enhance competition, to enhance market research on GSA Advantage, make investments in GSA Advantage to improve the dynamic ability for contractors to offer price reductions at any time, any place. I know they're working on that, and we applaud them on that effort. So there's things they could do to enhance competition. With regard to looking at the data, perhaps the first step and one of the things we recommended is a pilot program within the government where GSA's Assisted Services Division could collect the data internally, because the government has all this data. They issue the invoices, they pay the payments. They could do a pilot program, collect that information internally, take a look at it, try to figure out what data elements really make sense from a management perspective that they want to look at when they think about overall acquisition strategies, and then have a conversation with the private sector about, hey, we've done this pilot, this is the results, what do you think? Is there areas where we can collaborate better in terms of getting that kind of information? Collecting that data internally, enhancing competition under the GSA Schedules program, which again, this is a big key, for contractors to be able to electronically upload price reductions at any time, which you could not do under the GSA Schedules, which I think is supposed to go live this month. We think that's a step in the right direction. Those are kind of things I think should be looked at first before you start to impose, $800 million new requirement on the private sector. And this goes to a bigger issue too, Francis, and it's something that that we see all happening all the time, and that is the increasing burden of indirect costs, those costs associated with reporting or managing or complying with, certain requirements that don't directly impact the performance of the requirement. And you hear it all the time that those costs, those indirect costs are ever increasing at the expense of the direct cost, the direct performance cost of actually meeting an agency-specific requirement. And that's got to get back in balance if we want to improve customer agency missions, if you want to benefit the American people, focusing on the performance piece and trying to reduce and streamline things so you reduce those indirect costs are, I think, a key to best value. And this approach, there's so many questions about it, and it's so costly. I think they ought to take a step back and try to do their own internal pilot first.
Yeah, the point that you're making, I think, is a valid one, Roger, because the cynic in me would say, well, the reason the vendors don't want to do this is because they don't want to put out the $800 million to have to do with it. They don't want to eat that cost. And the reality of the situation is they wouldn't eat that cost. They would just chalk that to overhead and price that into whatever bids that they make over the however long it takes for them to make that back. So the government winds up paying for it, whether they do it internally at GSA or whether they make the vendors do it.
Well, that
am I right?
That may or may not be true. But one of the key, I think, challenges, I'm glad you asked this question, one of the key issues and the most contentious aspects of the rule beyond the gulf, I mean, the the ocean difference between the government's estimate and the industry's, what we came up with costs, is the fact that, these changes are being proposed at no cost to the government. So essentially, we're talking about a regulation that makes a unilateral change to the contract with no adjustment in the price that can be charged by the contractors. Now, could it be made up in other ways, in other places? Presumably, that's possible. But more directly, it's a fundamental principle of government procurement law. If you added additional performance requirements, which is what this is, there can be an equitable adjustment, and there could, and prices adjusted by modification to the contract. And that's not, they're sort of looking at this as a unilateral modification. What they would tell you is that, oh, we're changing the price reduction clause and reducing your burden. First of all, our analysis says that they're not really reducing any burden because they have eliminated a tracking customer aspect of the price reduction clause, but they make clear in their discussion of the rule that they have the ongoing right to ask for updated commercial pricing information at any time during the contract. And that means that contractors will still have the burden of constantly monitoring all their commercial transactions or commercial practices in order to be able to report those to the to GSA at any time. So they're not actually reducing, the current burden under the price reduction clause. They're sort of actually enhancing or increasing that burden because now they have to track, you have to track everything. At the same time, they're proposing to add this transactional data reporting burden. So we haven't even been able to calculate what it's $814 million plus whatever that additional compliance burden for the commercial pricing aspect of it as well, without any adjustment in the contract price. Could it be made up in somewhat in other ways? Possibly. But this sort of goes to the issue on the GSA schedules is, people can leave the program or they in many different ways. And we're seeing a trend where companies are just maintaining their GSA schedule contract and keeping that in place, but looking for other channels from which to do business on the federal government, reducing the number of products they have under the GSA schedules to reduce their risk, to reduce their costs of managing the contract, and looking to other more efficient contract vehicles to do their business. And, we're not happy about that. We'd like to see the schedule streamlined and improved. So it's, once again, the vehicle of choice for industry to access the federal marketplace. But it's a troubling aspect that we hear this all the time now of companies looking to other channels.
Roger, I appreciate your insight, and your comments are included in a story that my colleague Jason Miller has up on federalnewsradio.com, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Francis. Appreciate it.